tonight we're going to talk about a fairly controversial topic, and that is the top. But it's a halachic topic. It's a very significant halachic topic, and that is the topic of going on to Har HaBayis Bizman Hazeh. Why are we talking about this topic now? It did not come up recently in the Daf Yomi, but we're not that far off from Yom Yerushalayim, so we like to talk about Yerushalayim-related inyanim when we near Yom Yerushalayim. So that's what we're going to talk about at this point in time. Also, it just happens to be, I mentioned on Shabbos, I received in the mail this sefer, Hegyonei HaParsha. The author, Rabbi Ari Wasserman, is a friend. He's been here, he's been in this shul once or twice, and his brother's been in the shul many times, his father's been in the shul many times, and he writes, he's an attorney from Los Angeles who's retired and writes beautiful svarim. So he just came out with Bamidbar on Hegyonei HaParsha, which is halachic shiurim relating to each parsha. So I was flipping through the topics that he has in Bamidbar, and one of the topics he has is Knisa la Har HaBayis Bizman Hazeh, whether one is allowed to go on to Har HaBayis nowadays. So I figured, between a shiur I heard from Rav Shechter a number of years ago that I took notes on, and between what Rabbi Wasserman has to say, we could certainly fill 45 minutes and then some, you know, with information about Knesset of Har HaBayis Bizman Hazeh. Now, what I handed out to you is not a Mara Makomos packet. I did not have a chance to put together a source sheet, but I always like giving something out, so I just gave you my notes from when Rav Shechter gave the shiur, with a few additions of additional Makoros. So essentially, you're going to find what I'm doing is, if you know how to read really bad Hebrew, then you'll find what I'm doing is just really telling you what the, you know, what it says in front of you, to hopefully in a way that is clear and is understandable. So Rav Shechter, and I'm going to go with Rav Shechter's structure. The notes are obviously, they were taken out of shiur that Rav Shechter gave in DRS a number of years ago, so I'm going with his structure. So Rav Shechter began the shiur by saying how big of a topic this is, and how many svarim there are written on this topic, not just essays in svarim, but entire svarim written on this topic. And he mentioned that the head of Machon Tzomet had put together an impressive collection of Mara Makomos on the topic, and we're just going to summarize some of the basic issues, but we're not going to go through all of the Mara Makomos and all of the things that need to really be discussed when treating this topic with the seriousness that it needs to be treated with. So that's what he starts out with, and he points out that the discussions date back to the Balei HaTosos, where they wanted to go to Yerushalayim, and they even wanted maybe to bring Karbanos, and we discussed that once, we had a shiur about that once, whether you're allowed to bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh, whether that's a possibility at all, to bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh. He points out that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, in his Sefer Drishas Tzion, said that he suggested that we can bring Karbanos Bizman Hazeh, and even got Rabbi Kiva Eger to be masking with him, but then he sent to the Chassam Sofer this idea, and the Chassam Sofer sounded like he was also masking, but the Chassam Sofer said it's just a practical impossibility because we don't have the rights to Har HaBayis. We don't have the ability to go on Har HaBayis. So there are practical reasons why we can't get there, because the controlling government is not going to allow us to enter Har HaBayis anyway, so the whole thing is a moot point, the whole thing is irrelevant. So that's where the discussion sort of got underway. Are we allowed, if we were legally allowed to go on Har HaBayis, are we halachically allowed to go on Har HaBayis? And Rav Shechter pointed out that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank also deals with this ba'arichus. He has a long discussion on the topic. In fact, Rav Shechter pointed out that if you read carefully the Minchas Yitzchak's tshuva on this topic, Diane Weiss from the Yedek HaRedis wrote a very long tshuva on the topic of going to Har HaBayis, because when Rav Goren got the idea after Hakotel Bialdeinu, after we got back the old city of Yerushalayim, Rav Goren decided that he wanted to go to Har HaBayis, Minchas Yitzchak and many other Gedolim were absolutely against it. They were not at all happy. And if you read the Minchas Yitzchak's tshuva, Rav Shechter pointed out, he probably got most of what he said directly from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but he didn't quote him because Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was not a member of the Yedek HaRedis, so it was politically incorrect to quote Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but he probably lifted the entire, that's what Rav Shach said, he probably lifted the entire tshuva straight from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who wrote a lot on this topic. Now, the importance of discussing this topic, or inyanim relating to the Har HaBayis, and inyanim relating to the Beis HaMikdash, is significant. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, and Avram Avinu says, has the chutzpah to say to the Ribono Shalom, Bame'eda ki iroshena. How do I know that I'm actually going to get Eretz Yisrael? And that's a very difficult question to understand. Avram Avinu is questioning the Ribono Shalom, and there are some midrashim that in fact say that Avram Avinu's questioning of the Ribono Shalom is something that he was punished for. That's something he should not have done, and he taka got punished for it later on. But the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Megillah says a little different. The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Megillah says it wasn't a chutzpah. What Avram Avinu was asking was, what is our special zuchus by which we are guaranteed Eretz Yisrael? There must be some mitzvah, there must be something that we're supposed to do. Through that mitzvah, we're going to be guaranteed Eretz Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the zuchus ha-karbanos, that you're going to get, the karbanos, bring the karbanos, that's the great zuchus that you have. And Avram Avinu presses HaKadosh Baruch Hu further, and he says, that's really great, bizman shebeis HaMikdash kayam, when we have a Beis HaMikdash. What are we going to do when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Where's our zuchus going to be then? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Mishal Mepar Mitzvaseinu, that you have the ability, even with absent the Beis HaMikdash, of speaking about the Beis HaMikdash, speaking about karbanos. And when you speak about Karbanos, when you read the Parshios HaKarbanos, that itself is the Zuchus HaKarbanos, and through the Zuchus of saying Karbanos, of reading the Parshios HaKarbanos, learning about Karbanos, you're going to be Zoche to get back Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Chafetz Chaim made such a big deal about learning Kachin. He thought not only is it important to learn Kachin because we have to be ready for the Beis HaMikdash, which he also thought. Chafetz Chaim had his bag packed. He was ready in case the Geula was going to come. So not only is it critical on that level, Chafetz Chaim held, it was critical to learn Kachin because that's the Zuchus through which we're going to be Zoche to get Eretz Yisrael back and to get the Beis HaMikdash back. So we have to learn about Karbanos. That's why the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos, it may be a kiyum mitzvah do raisa to read the Karbanos. Because reading the Karbanos is our version of bringing the Karbanos, Bizman Hazeh. We don't have the ability to bring the Karbanos, we have the ability to read the Karbanos. Ben Yonah writes this in the context of discussing saying Torah Shebichsav Bal Peh, that there's an issue that just like Dvarim Shebichsav, just like Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yav Tarash HaLekosvam, there's an issue to write Torah Shebal Peh, there's also an issue to say by heart Torah Shebichsav. To say Torah Shebichsav, not from a text. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes a chiddush. Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah in the end of Masechet Brachos, in the back of Masechet Brachos, writes a chiddush that if you're saying the Torah Shebichsav by heart, but those psukim that you're saying happen to be not just Torah, they're also used for some other mitzvah, for some specific mitzvah, then you're allowed to say them by heart. So, for example, Rabbeinu Yonah says the psukim of Kriya Shema, you're allowed to say by heart. Why? Because they're not only psukim in Torah. There are also psukim that are used to do another mitzvah, like Kriya Shema. So you're allowed to say psukim of Birchas Kohanim. You're allowed to say those psukim by heart. Why, when I bench my children, am I allowed to say the psukim of Birchas Kohanim by heart? Because they're not only psukim in the Torah, they're also used to fulfill another mitzvah. In fact, Rav Shechter even wanted to suggest, I mentioned this on Pesach in Shul, I think, Rav Shechter wanted to suggest that maybe that's why, of all of the parshios that we could have chosen to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, you think about the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the night of the Seder. How are you going to tell the story of what happened to the Jews? Which book of the Bible are you going to open up to tell the story of the Jews leaving Mitzrayim? You would think it would be Sefer Shemos. You would think it would be the Parshios that actually describe the Jews leaving Mitzrayim. But it's not. What Parsha do we darshan the whole night? Arami Ovid Avi. Why are we darshaning Arami Ovid Avi? So Rav Shechter thought, because very often the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim was not done from a text, and we had to therefore use psukim that we were allowed to say by heart. And we couldn't use the psukim in Sefer Shemos. Those are just psukim. You can't say those psukim by heart. We had to use psukim that are already used for some other mitzvah, like Vidoy Maestros, which Arami Ovid Avi is used for. So since it's already used for some other mitzvah, we're allowed to say those psukim by heart. Mimele, we use those psukim for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the chiddush Rav Shechter suggested. When he said this chiddush, he said, he was saying over a shir of Torah from Rav Soloveitchik about the Haggadah, and he said, this one is not from Rav Soloveitchik, and in fact, I'm pretty sure if I would tell this to him, he would not like it at all. But he didn't say why. He just said that Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't approve of this part. But that's how he understood the based on that Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. But anyway, going back to our discussion, so Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah understands that there may be a kiyum daraisa to say korbanos, meaning that part of davening that so many people unfortunately skip in the morning, each and every morning. It's very important to say those korbanos, because that's the only way we can bring those korbanos. Either that, or learn Seder Kachim really well. Learn the halachos of Kachim, the parshios of Kachim. So the Chafetz Chaim made a big deal about that, and he wrote about that in his introduction to his Sefer on Kachim. And the Chafetz Chaim even goes so far as to say that, let's say for 1 year you don't have access to matzah, or you don't have access to a lulav on Sukkot or something like that. Is reading the psukim about matzah or about the lulav, is that a kiyum a mitzvah at all? Chafetz Chaim says, probably not. This chiddush of Neshalma Par Mitzvah Seinu is specifically a chiddush by Kachim. That specifically by Kachim, reading about it is a kiyum of doing it. But by other mitzvahs, that may not be the case. Reading about it may not be a fulfillment of doing the mitzvah itself. Rav Shachter pointed out that that's a machlokas. Not all of the Mabit disagrees. The Mabit thinks that no, it's teaching us about all mitzvahs. That just like reading about Kachim is a way to fulfill the mitzvah of Korbanos, reading about any mitzvah is a way to fulfill that mitzvah as well. But the bottom line is that discussing the harabayis and discussing the possibility of korbanos on the harabayis and discussing inyanim that relate to the Migdash and the levels of Tumen Tahara and all of these issues that we're going to be discussing tonight should be a great zuchus for us to merit to have Eretz Yisrael back in its fullest form, in its greatest capacity. Right now we took a very, very critical step in 1948, another very, very critical step in 1967, but we're not there yet. There are more steps that need to be taken in order for us to fully appreciate and to fully enjoy the benefit of having Eretz Yisrael and being able to observe all of Taryag Mitzvos, being able to have all of Taryag Mitzvos. And the way to achieve that is by learning about it. So now, given that that backdrop, okay, I'm already 10 minutes into this year, given that backdrop, that introduction, it's important to realize what the rules are when it comes to Tamei people going on into holy places. Now, not all Tamei people are equal. There are different levels of Tumah, and not all holy places are equal. There are different levels of holiness. The Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Kelim tells us, Eser Kedushos Hei. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. There are different places that have different levels of Kedusha. Bein HaBadim of the Aron, between the Badim of the Aron and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the holiest place on earth. And then the Mishnah works its way out that you have different Madrigals of Kedusha in the Kodesh, in the Hechel, the Azara, the Ezra's Nashim, the Harabais, and goes and tells us about all the different levels of Kedusha. However, even though there are 10 levels of Kedusha, as far as our discussion is concerned, only 3 of those levels are really critical to understand. And those 3 levels already existed for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the three relevant levels of Kedusha, because there were 3 machanos in the Midbar. There was the Machane Shechina, the three levels that we had in the Midbar transfer very nicely into Eretz Yisrael. We had the Machane Shechina, we had the Machane Leviyah, and the Machane Yisrael in the Midbar. The Machane Shechina, which is Toch HaKlayim, which is within the Mishkan, and then you had around that the Machne Leviyah, where the Leviyim encamped around them, and then from there until the end of the Degalim in all 4 directions, you had the Machne Yisrael, you had where the rest of the Jewish people lived. Now someone who had Sara'as, for example, was very Tameh, was sent Chutz L'Gimel Machnos. He couldn't be in any of those 3 machnos. Each of those machnos have kedusha. A mitzora has to be sent outside of all 3 machnos. Someone who's a zav, let's say, someone who has tumas ziva, is allowed in the machne Yisrael, but he's not allowed in the machne Shechina or even in machne Leviyah. But the machne Yisrael is zav. Zava nida yoledas, someone who has a flow that comes out of their body that makes them an avatuma, is allowed in the Machne Yisrael. He's allowed to live amongst the people, but he's not allowed in the Machne Leviyah or the Machne Shechina. Someone who's tamei lenefesh, someone who's tamei meis, is not even allowed in the Machne Shechina, but is allowed not only in the Machane Yisrael, he's even allowed in the Machane Levia, which means someone who's Tamei Meis is allowed to go a lot further than someone who has Tumas Ziva, someone who's Zav, Zava, Nida, or Yoledes. So this is very critical for our purposes, because the halacha is that the Har HaBayit, the three Kedushos as we know them, let's start from the lowest of the three, the Machne Yisrael. How would that translate into Eretz Yisrael proper? Meaning, once we're out of the Midbar, we're in Eretz Yisrael, what has the Kedusha of the Machne Yisrael, that third Machne? So the Kedusha of that Machne Yisrael relates to Yerushalayim, the whole Ir HaAtika, the whole Old City of Yerushalayim. And there's Kedusha, there's significant Kedusha to that, to the Old City of Yerushalayim. You're only allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in the Old City of Yerushalayim. There's definitely Kachum Kalim can only be eaten in the Old City of Yerushalayim. There's definite Kedusha to that Makom. But that Makom, unless you're a Mitzora, you're allowed there. Nowadays, it's not so lamaisa to be a mitzora. It's not lamaisa at all, really, to be a mitzora. It's debatable whether we're ever afflicted with the skin conditions that would qualify for tzara'as. And even if we are afflicted with those skin conditions, Rav Schechter thinks we are. He thinks that probably there are all sorts of dermatological problems that come up that probably would fit the bill and would actually be tzara'as. But unless a kohen, it's a very rare thing. It's not a physical reality, it's the psak of the Kohen that not just decides whether you have been a Mitzora or not, but that actually is the determining factor whether you're a Mitzora. It's not just revealing, it's not Megala whether this is Tzara'as or not, it actually is Koveya whether this is Tzara'as or not. So when a Kohen declares you a person of Mitzora, the person's a Mitzora. Absent the declaration of a Kohen, the person is not a Mitzora. I just told the story in Shul a couple of weeks ago, where someone came over to me and they told me that they had a problem because they have a rash on their arm, and they went to Dr. Grishko, who's a Kohen, and because he was in Shul, he was sitting next to them, and they said to him, you know, well, he's a cardiologist, so of course they asked him about a rash on the arm. So he said, can you tell me what's wrong with my arm? Why do I have a rash on the arm? And Dr. Grishko, who's a Kohen, said, tzara'as. So the guy was terrified. Oh no, I came to a Kohen with a discoloration on my skin, and he paskined that I have tzara'as. Do I have to worry that I'm a mitzvah? It's one of the more unique shilas. But typically speaking, we generally don't get, they don't teach in smicha programs the tzara'as shilas. It's not one of the things that we have to study in great depth. That's not really an issue for us. But let's move forward now. In the second machne, the machne levia, so that we assume is harabayis, that the harabayis has the status of machne levia, and the machne shechina is the azara itself. So who is not allowed in the Machna Levia, in the Harabayis? Well, someone who's Tamei Meis is allowed in the Machna Levia, is allowed in Harabayis. We're all Tamei Meisim and we have no way out of it unless that red cow somewhere in upstate New York that guy has on the farm that was in the news a couple of weeks ago turns out to be something and we're able to produce the Efer Bar Aduma and Mashiach comes and we're able to use. We have no way out of being Tamei Meisim. Until something significant happens in Jewish history. But as Tamei Meisim, that's not really a problem as far as Harabayis is concerned. We can go to Harabayis when we're Tamei Meisim. What are we not allowed to do? We're not allowed to go to the Azara when we're Tamei Meisim. We're allowed to go to Harabayis. But if a person is a Zav, Zava, Nida, Yoledes, they're not even allowed in the Harabayis. So now the question is, what are we? We know we're Tamei Meisim, so we're not allowed in the Azara. Are we also a Zav, Zava, Nida, or Yoledes? Well, I'm fairly confident that no one in this room at the present time is a Zava, Nida, or Yoledes, but are we a Zav? Are our wives and our daughters and our sisters and our mothers Zava, Nida, Yoledes? Are they any of those categories which would determine that, which would mean that they necessarily cannot go in the Harabayis. Now, it should be pointed out that it's not as simple. The lines don't cut quite as simply as I delineated. The Bartanura writes that the first 10 amos of Harabayis are regular Harabayis, and then there's a place called the Chel, And then after the Chel, there's the Ezras Nashim, which has Kedushas Harabayis on a very high level. And Rashi explains in the Gemara that Ezras Nashim doesn't have Kedushas Azara. Even the Ezras Nashim only has Kedushas Harabayis, not Kedushas Azara. Why? Because so that the women could sit. And you're not allowed to sit anywhere that has Kedushas Azara. There's a rule, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Elul Malchus Beis Dovin Bulvad. The only people that are allowed to sit in the Azara are from the Malchus Beis David. So the Ezras Nashim specifically wasn't granted the Kedushas Azara because women constantly need to sit. Why do women constantly need to sit? Because they're often pregnant or nursing or otherwise weakened by the journey, so it would be helpful to them to have the ability to sit. So if you have a woman who's Tamei, she's not allowed to go into the Ezras Nashim. Only if she's Tahara, she's allowed to go there. And then she's allowed to sit there as well because it doesn't have Kedushas Azara. Why, if she's Tameh, she's not allowed to go there? Because if she's a Nida, Zavar Yoledas, it has Kedushas Harabayis. And someone who's Nida Zavar Yoledas is not allowed in Harabayis. So only a woman who's Tahora can even go into the Ezras Nashim, and then when she's there, she's allowed to sit because it doesn't have Kedushas Azara. Now, the place for the men had Kedushas Azara, and therefore it's asur to sit. Midrabanan, it emerges from the Mishnayos that the lowest level of Kedusha on Harabayis are the first 10 Amos, and a Tamei Mace is allowed to go in the first 10 Amos, even Midrabanan. But after those first 10 Amos, Midrabanan, a Tamei Mace is not allowed to go. So I oversimplified a little bit when I just said, okay, the Harabayis is okay for Tamei Mason. Not exactly. Not anywhere outside the Azara is necessarily okay for a Tamei Meis to go. The first few Amos of what we would call Harabayis is okay for a Tamei Meis to go there. The second Chelek of Harabayis is already Aser for a Tamei Meis to go there. So I understand why we can't just waltz around Harabayis because we're all Tamei Meisim. But what about those first 10 Amos? What about the edge of Harabayis, the first few Amos of Harabayis? Can we go there? We're Tamei Meisim, but Tamei Meisim are allowed there. So do we have additional problems? Do we have the problems of being a Zav or anything like that? So Rav Goren, as is well known, thought that it's a good idea that we should go in those 10 Amos, we should go to the mikveh, make sure that we're not a Balkari or a Zav or anything like that, go to a mikveh and have a minyan. We should daven there in those first 10 Amos. So some people said, how could you do that? You might be a Zav, for all you know. So Shachter thought that that's a strange concern. Zav is a disease. If a person was a Zav, he'd probably be aware of the fact that he's a Zav. He thought it was odd to think that a person is actually going to be a Zav, and that therefore we should be concerned about it. And if he is a Zav, you could always go, there is a way out. You can go to the mikveh and wait the Zayin Nikim and different possibilities. So there are different reasons, though, that the poskim were machmir. So Rav Shechter only mentioned two, but I tried to collect in my notes over here as many as I could, 8 or 9 different reasons that the poskim were machmir not to go in Harabayis. Yeah.
Is there a confidence level that we know where the Azara?
So that's obviously
relative to
right.
So it's built over the centuries and where the entrance is today.
Yeah, so that's a critical part of it. Obviously, is the figuring out where the Harabayis is and what those first 10 Amos are. So we'll get to the Radvaz. Essentially, thought he knew because he said under the Dome of the Rock is the Evan Shesia, and using that as the focal point is the Evan Shesia, which is the Makom of the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadashim, which is right under the kippah, he calls it, so we can figure out around that. And others also were pretty convinced, and there are people today that are pretty convinced that they know. But that is certainly one of the critical points, that, you know, how much confidence you really have that people actually know what exactly the shetach of the Harabayis is, of the 509. We'll get to it. So one possible reason to be machmir, there's a sefer called Karnei HaMizbeach that quotes from some of the Hasidish Sfarim that say that many years before the First World War, they already predicted that there's going to be a world war, and that after the world war, we'll be allowed in Eretz Yisrael, and that then we're going to bring Karbanos. So the sefer Karnei HaMizbeach says that we saw that in the time of the First World War, and the Balfour Declaration was signed, we see the kiyum of the Nevuah already. And this is right in the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim, before our Kamas HaMedina. They already saw the kiyum of the nevuah, that we're getting back Eretz Yisrael. The Balfour Declaration was signed. We already see that we're going to get back Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes that there are some people that are machmir that say that every single man has to view himself as if he's a suffix zav. Because we don't know if we're really a zav or if we're not a zav. Maybe a person saw ziva and he forgot about it and he never went to the mikveh after that. But again, Rav Shechter wasn't so convinced that this is a reasonable concern. Most people would know if they're a zav. It's an illness. So mistama, if a guy saw ziva, he'd go to a doctor. He would try to get it checked out and see what's wrong with him, what's happening to him. So probably it's not something he'd be worried about it. It's not something that a person would likely forget about. Now, that may be somewhat of a simplification also. The Gemara discusses ef shabalo tzichtzuche ziva. Sometimes a person can urinate and there's tzichtzuche ziva in the urine. So it's cloudy urine or something and there could be ziva there. And the guy's not necessarily going to be aware of that or be conscious of that. It's not always this major event, this major medical event in his life. But Rav Shechter thought it was enough of a major medical event that it's unlikely that a person would forget about it. The Sefer Chazon Nachum from the 1700s writes a different reason. He says that the Zav is not allowed to go even in the first 10 Amos. But we're not Zavim, and we know that we're not Zavim. So, well, wait a second, there is a halacha. The Gemara says, Big Day Ama Aretz is Medrus Leprushim. That the Beged of an Ama Aretz, you have to treat as if it's the Beged of a Zav, as if it was a Medrus HaZav, it was something that a Zav sat on. Why do I have to assume that the clothing of an Ama Aretz was sat on by a Zav? So what it means to say is, the Pashas of the Gemara is, that every Ama Aretz has a din of a Zav. That on a Derabbanan level, we treat every Ama Aretz like a Zav. And therefore the Prushim, the Talmidei Chachamim, that touch Big Day Ama Aretz, have to assume that they become Tameh. So if that's true, that every Ama Aretz has a din of a Zav, well, we're all Amei Aretz when it comes to Tumentara. Because who amongst us is ever knowing anything about Tumentara? None of us are ever careful about Tumentara because we never have to be. And therefore we're all Amei Aretz, and therefore we're all Zavim, because Midrabanu, we all have a din of a Zav. So that's what the Sefer Chazon Nachum says, that we all have to be careful, and since we don't eat Truma anymore, so we're not careful about eating Truma B'Tumah, we don't know anything about our Tumah, and mainly we all have a din of an Amei Aretz. And even though you could take care of Tumah Ziva by just going to the mikvah, but you can't take care of being an Amei Aretz by going to the mikvah. And Chazal were misakin that every Amei Aretz has a din of a Zav. So it's like being Tovel v'sharetz biyado. You're going to go to the mikvah, and you're not going to be a Zav anymore, but it doesn't matter. You were never really a Zav in the first place anyway. Chazal call you a Zav because we're all Amaratzim. So you're going to come out of the mikvah, you're going to be every bit the Amei Aretz you were when you went into the mikvah. So Mela, we always have to maziva. That's what the Sefer Chazon Nachum suggested. In fact, when Rav Gorin went in Harabayis, Dayan Weiss, this was one of his tainas. He quoted from the Sefer Chazon Nachum, and this was one of his tainas. Now, in the Sefer Karnos HaMizbeach, he quotes this chiddush of the Chazon Nachum, and he says that it's incorrect, that he doesn't think that this is a legitimate concern. Because, first of all, he says, the idea of an Ama Aretz being someone who has Tumah Ziva because he's not Nizar in Tumah and Tahara means that it's a person who's Ochel Truma B'Tumah. It means that an Ama Aretz who we declare has Tumah Ziva is the kind of guy that violates Isurim relating to Tumah. The fact that we aren't careful about Tumah and Tahara, that we aren't cognizant of our Tumah and Tahara, is not because we're Rishayim and we're doing Averus all the time, it's because it's irrelevant halachically to us. And therefore the Gzeira that every Ama Aretz has Din of Azav may not relate to us. Granted, we don't know much about Tumah and Tahara, but the Gezeira was made for people who didn't know about Tumah and Tahara and should have known, because they did eat Truma. That's where they made a Gezeira that they all have Tumah Ziva. But we have no reason to know about Tumah and Tahara. We don't have to worry about these things. Rav Shechter mentioned the Maisa that we've mentioned before in Tinek, when they wanted to build the mikveh, and they had to go in front of the zoning board, and the person on the zoning board started asking all sorts of questions. Pat, what are you going to do exactly there? Tell me carefully exactly what's going to happen in this pool, what's going to happen in this bath. And they're going through and they're explaining to him, okay, it's, yes, without clothing and then dipping, but it's just a bath. And then they come out and there's going to be this many people there. But what about the birds? What do you mean, what about the, aren't you going to be slaughtering birds? Why would you think we're slaughtering birds? Well, it says in Leviticus that when someone has, when a woman has her menstrual period, and then she had, and there were yoledas, or whatever, it says that there's supposed to be a slaughtering of birds that are involved. So they ask the kasha that shouldn't you have to? It's a kasha the kuzari. Why are we still knowing nida lebaila, but we're not knowing nida in terms of tumantara? We're not knowing it, but we're not. We're not knowing whatever the answer is. It's the Rav Yosef Engel has a whole essay what the answer. Whatever the answer is, we're not knowing the din of tumantara. So you're not going to fault us and say that we all have a din of amei aretz and we all have a din of a zav because we're not knowing those dinim. That's for people who should have been, who were knowing those dinim and still didn't care when we're tamei. That's one problem with this Cheshbon and the Chazon Nachum. The other problem with the Cheshbon of the Chazon Nachum is that there's no din that an Amaretz is not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. The din was that Big Day Amaretz are a Medrash Leprushim. That vis-a-vis a Talmud Chacham, vis-a-vis a Tzaddik, someone who's careful about Tum and Tara, he has to view the Beged of an Amaretz like it's a Medrash Hazav. But there was never a Takana that Amei Aretz aren't allowed on Har HaBayis. It's just that their clothing is something that the Talmidei Chachamim have to be careful about. It may not have been a consistent across-the-board gezeira that all Amei Aretz have to maziva. So that's why Rav Shachter wasn't convinced at all by this chumra of the Chazon Nachum that everyone is necessarily a zav, and therefore, no matter what you do, you can't go on the Har HaBayis. Those are the two major concerns that Rav Shachter raised. He also mentioned the issue of knowing exactly where the Shetach is. And he says, if you have a guide who studied really well and is pretty convinced that he's going to take you only in those first 10 Amos, then you can, he thought that there are people that are expert enough that you can rely with confidence that if you know where you're going, that you can go only in those first 10 Amos, provided again that you go to the mikveh in advance and things like that. But what are the other concerns that were not mentioned? Yeah?
What about the leather shoes?
So some of the other concerns are as follows. First of all, being metahir women is challenging because it's going to be hard to legislate this, that the men are allowed to go if they just go to the mikveh. And the women, well, it depends. When did you get your period last? And what are you holding? You know, single girls are going to be dealing with these kinds of issues. Not a pashut thing at all to be to control this kind of situation. Rav Shachter mentioned that as well. Another concern Rav Zsolti mentions in Mishnas Yaivitz that even if we know where to start measuring the 500 amos, how big is an amma? So we're not, somewhere between 18 and 24 inches, but we're not exactly sure. And it's not so clear. Now, there are other halachas that involve shiurim, that we rely on the size of our body to figure out the shiur, but most of those halachas have to do with our bodies, with how many steps, or how much to eat, or how much to do. So they relate to things that relate to our bodies. So even though the human body may have changed in size, probably the shiurim changed along with it. But in the Shetach of the Har HaBayis, there's no way the Amos changed over time, just because people may have changed in size. An Amos is technically from the elbow to the top of the middle finger, right? An average person. But what was average then, what's average now, we don't know exactly. And probably the Amos didn't change. So Rav Zsolti says, that's another complicating factor, if we don't know exactly how to measure the Amos. Yeah?
You can work around by just taking a worst-case estimate.
Right.
Welcome back, it's harder, yeah. You need precision.
Enochinami, right. You can take it at 24 inches.
If there's enough space for that.
Right, if there's enough space, exactly. He also points out, the Rav Zsolti also points out, that Riyas Panim Ba'azara, for no reason other than just to be Metayel, just to tour, is maybe an Isser of Mar Migdash. That the halacha is that a person is not allowed to go into the Azara unnecessarily. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Peis HaBechira, Mitzvah Saseh Liyira Mina Migdash, Shenamar Mikdash Ay Tira'u, V'lo Mina Migdash Ata Yara Yal Misha Tziva Al Yirasa. When we have a Yira, a Mora of the Migdash, but it's not just the Migdash, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Rambam goes on to say, Ve'ezu Hi Yirasa Lo Yikanes Adam Lahar HaBayis B'makalo O B'minot Shabaraglav. You can't have your walking stick, you can't have your shoes when you go on the Har HaBayis. V'lo Yikanes Lo Ela Lidvar Mitzvah. And the only excuse to go on Har HaBayis is if you're going there to do a mitzvah. If you have some mitzvah to do on Har HaBayis. But to stop tour around Har HaBayis, that's a violation of Mar Migdash, Rav Zsolti says. Now, Rav Shachter didn't discuss this concern. I would imagine that he would respond that, and I would imagine Rabbi Tendler and all the others who do go, Rav Shabta does not go, but those who do go, and Rav Shabta believes, technically speaking, strictly speaking, la halacha, if you asked, if he thought his halachic opinion mattered on this, which he thinks his halachic opinion doesn't matter on this, because he believes this is squarely within the jurisdiction of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, so it's not under his jurisdiction, but if he were the Gadol Hador Be'eretz Yisrael, he would say that you can go, and I would imagine what he would respond to this is that it is a great mitzvah, because he concluded the shir, we'll see, we'll hopefully get to, have time for it, but he concluded the shir by saying that if it's mutter to go, then you must go. Because if it's mutter to go on the Har HaBayis, for the Jewish people not to go on Har HaBayis is a statement to the rest of the world that we don't really care. It doesn't really matter that much to us. So there's a great mitzvah to show that this is our holiest place and we care deeply about this place, provided that it's mutter to go. But if it's also to go, then obviously whatever political statements you want to make are irrelevant, we have to follow the halacha. But if it were mutter to go, then it would be an obligation to go, and l'chora, that would be enough of a dvar mitzvah that it wouldn't be a violation of Mora Mikdash. You wouldn't say, oh, I'm just going to be metayel, I'm just going because it's a cool thing to do, it's, I'll get cool pictures and it's a good tourist attraction. No, it's a mitzvah to show the world that we care about these things. But that's what Rav Jolti suggested, that it's perhaps a violation of Mora Mikdash. Another concern Minchas Yitzchak brings is if we allow people to, it's just a concern of where this is going to lead. That if we allow people to go on Har HaBayis, then you think everyone's going to follow the rules. Everyone's going to take off their shoes. You think everyone's going to go to the mikveh. It's not going to happen. People are going to go, and all sorts of Torah groups will go, and they'll go in all sorts, like they do. I mean, there are all sorts of Torah groups. But he's saying, even from people who don't know any better, will just, what are they going to hear? They're going to hear that it's mutter to go on Har HaBayis. They're not going to hear it, but with, you know, this rule, that rule, the other rule. It's one of my great hesitations before a three-day Yantif, when I always give out the rules of showering on Yantif, how to shower, halachically correctly on Yantif. People say, oh, Rabbi Lubitz said it's okay to shower on Yantif. But you never hear the, but here's what you have to know. You can't touch your hair when it's wet. You can't use bar of soap. You can't, you know, all of like the everyone just, yeah, it's mutter. You can use a warming drawer. But you need to line it with the boiler. You got to cover the control knob because you have to make sure it doesn't turn off when you open it. You know, there are a lot of times details and nuance gets lost on people. So I understand the Minchas Yitzchak's concern that we're going to just say, oh, it's mutter to go on Har HaBayis, and then people aren't going to follow any of the buts. They're not going to follow any of the rules of how to do it. He also points out that not only is that going to happen, they're also going to continue to go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and all the other parts of the Har HaBayis. They're not only going to go in those first 10 Amos, people are going to end up being Mezalzel. And he says that there's a Sefer Hasidim that writes that when Klal Yisrael is Mezalzel in the Kedushas Har HaBayis, that's when the Umas HaOlam are Mezalzel in the Kedushas Har HaBayis. So we have to be very careful about that. Additionally, normally when a man goes to the mikvah, you know, frankly, it doesn't really matter. You know, when we go to a mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, it's for Tosefes Kedusha, whatever. We're not really addressing any significant Tumah need. And, you know, Tumas Balkari, you could even have 40 lug of Mayim She'uvin, you take a long shower, and that would take care of it, but you have it also. So you can go to someone's swimming pool with the filter turned off or something. You know, it's not the biggest deal. You don't have to have the most kosher mikvah. But for going in Har HaBayis, you got to make sure there are no chatzitzas on your body. Meaning, whatever a woman has to go through before she goes to the mikvah, a man who wants to go on Har HaBayis has to make sure he goes through that same process. He's going to have to make sure there are no chatzitzas anywhere in his body, and he's going to have to go make sure that it's a perfectly kosher mikvah. And the likelihood of that happening, as opposed to just going to some swimming pool, is also something that that may be a cause for concern. And again, the broader concern we mentioned before, just where exactly the makom of the Har HaBayis. There's also, has to be mentioned, there's a significant machlokas in the Rishonim whether there even is Kedushas Har HaBayis Bezman Hazeh. So this whole discussion assumes that there is Kedushas Har HaBayis Bezman Hazeh. That's a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, in a number of places, indicates that there is Kedushas Har HaBayis Bezman Hazeh. The Rambam writes, for example, in Perek Vav, Halach Yudalud, Uba Meniskad Shabakadusha Rishonah Shakitcha Shlomoshu Kiddush Hazara V'Yerushalayim L'Shaitan V'Kitchal La'Asad Lava. Shlomo HaMelech gave Kedusha for that time and La'Asad Lava. And he says, Ubekedusha sharet solin yeshvius umais chutz ben lokit shalas lavo. That's only for the harabayis and for the mikdash. The rest of eretz so maybe is not kid shalas lavo, but kedusha hamikdash v'yushlaim mipnei hashchina. The kedusha of the mikdash and the kedusha of yushlaim is a result of the shchina. Ushchina in a betela. Everything else can be batel. Shchina in a betela. So you still have that kedusha there. So the Rambam very clearly and strongly holds that there is kedusha on harabayis even bizman hazeh. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid writes in the sixth paragraph of the space of Bechira Alach Yudalid that Soda Hashem Li'Reyav, I know from a special secret, sounds like Alpi Kabbalah, that there's no Kedusha anymore in the Harabais. So some understand the Ravid Kipshuta, that there's no Kedusha anymore in the Harabais. He says, you're not Chayiv Karis anymore. If you go Betumah in the Harabais, it's not an issue anymore because the Kedusha is not there. So some understand that the Ravid is saying that Mamash, there's no Kedusha. That's how the Radvaz understood the Ravid, that it's Heter Gomer. However, there are a group of Achronim that understand the Ravid differently. That the Ravid is saying that that you're not Chayiv Kares, but nevertheless, it still has Kedusha Bezman Hazeh, and you're still not allowed to go there. But that is the basic machlokas between the Rishonim. There is a Me'iri in Shavuos and Daftaz Zayin, where the Me'iri says that he heard that according to the Ravid, that it's not Kitchalas Lavo, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael rely on that, and all daven there on the Harabayis. The Me'iri says, I heard that's the minhag, that everyone davens on the Harabayis. So Rav Zhalti, in a stunning bit of chutzpah, you would say, says, it's a typo in the Me'iri. He says, I heard that they don't daven there, because they would never daven there. How does he? And he says, and I'll prove to you that that's correct, because he says the Sefer Kaftor Veferach was roughly around the same period as the Me'iri, and he reports that the minhag was that they would daven by the Kotel, they would daven outside of the Harabais, they wouldn't daven in the Harabais. So how could the Me'iri have heard one thing and the Kaftor Veferach heard something else? What did people actually do? So he says it must be that he didn't that they didn't actually do it. So it's no secret. Many of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv, and the Poskei Adar in Eretz Yisrael, the past few generations, were pretty strict about this, about not going on Harabayis. And there are Rabbanim also that do go on Harabayis. I think the position of the Chief Rabbinate is still not to go, right? So the Chief Rabbinate generally follows the Shita. Well, at least in this regard, they follow the Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv on this issue, and as I mentioned before, when I asked Rav Shechter about it, he thought la halacha it's mutter, but la maisa it's aser, because you have to follow the psak halacha of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael. Okay.